Well, here we are for the Blitz podcast with the Green Zone, Jamie Nye and Britton Gray. As we get you set, it's week 18 action in the Canadian Football League. This week, only three games. Three teams have bye weeks before the final 3 weeks of the season ahead of the playoffs in November. And it'll kick off on Friday night in Ottawa, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the Ottawa Red Blacks. Their records are flipped. It's 10-4 against 4-10. But I think, Britton, there are some nervous fans in Saskatchewan heading into this game against the Ottawa Red Blacks, especially after a loss to the Edmonton Elks.
Yeah, there are some nervous fans. Fans hitting the panic button. The first time this team has lost two games in a row, hit the panic button, right? I guess a loss to the Elks will do that. Though, not panicking, but boy, there was a lot of things that have been hurting the Riders all season that finally led to a loss for the team.
Yeah, the kicking game, which we will get into shortly, missed two field goals, give up big plays on the defensive side in the defensive secondary, interceptions by Trevor Harris, missed throws downfield as his percentage of passes beyond 10 yards, and maybe a little bit of a arm issue, although Darryl Davis tried to get to the bottom of that with a bit of a sour look from the quarterback asking about his arm going into this week's game. Although it was brought up, he brought it up last week on the arm injury. So that's why Darryl went digging, especially when you see the percentage of deep throws dropping with Trevor Harris this season. But so there's a lot to get to here on the Blitz podcast, but let's start off with your questions as you sent them in to myself and Britton Gray. And you can send those in at Britton Gray at Jamie and I all season long, and we will answer your questions. And we start with Ben. It is a great problem to have all these receivers getting healthy. He's talking about target share, not Taylor Swift. When you see TS, Keyshawn has a 25% target share. Emelis close to 27 last year. Joe's about 20% the last few games. Anield and Myers in that 15 to 18%. KSB comes around there. Of course, the math adds up way more than 100%. What is this offense going to look like down the stretch? Well, Britton, I'm just going to be the mathematics major, okay?
Here we go. Okay.
This is what I think is going to happen. KSB, Sam Emelis, and Keyshawn Johnson are going to see that about 25% share. I think that'll be, and then a Joe, Neal, well, Myers will be in there, of course, around that 15%. Neal will be lower than that. But I think KSB, Emelis, and Keyshawn are going to be the more heavily targeted receivers. And judging by practice, Trevor Harris loves throwing to Kean Schaefer-Baker because they hooked up a bunch of times in that one open practice.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I can't tell you exactly what it's going to look like, but Keyshawn Johnson has emerged as kind of Mr. Second Down for the Riders. That's who Trevor Harris is looking for on those second and eight, second and sevens, running those slants, running those routes. He's turned into a really good possession receiver for this team. Sam Emelis, when he eventually gets there back to up to speed, as I expect he will, he'll drop like 27%, absolutely, about 25%. Kean Schaefer-Baker, he was out there for Ajoa Joe. Ajoa Joe was the backup to Kean Schaefer-Baker for a lot of practice. So that's where you kind of get the KSB Ajoa. You're going to split their targets up because Ajoa was still getting out there. He's still a great blocker. He's still someone this team wants involved in. You're just, I think, if I had to go based on what I saw at practice, Kean Schaefer-Baker comes into a starting spot. Ajoa goes into a backup role because Tommy Neild, you talk about a guy emerging. Tommy Neild has become touchdown Tommy for this team recently with its four touchdowns in nine games. He seems to come up with the play when the Riders need it. He scored the Riders only, the Riders touchdown there as they tried to come back. So he's going to continue to get that. But one good thing about this receiver room is they can attack teams in a multitude of ways now. You want to play a possession game? Keane Schaefer Baker and Keyshawn Johnson. You want to go deep, Sam Emelis, Dante Myers. You want to have pretty much a tight end out there? Put a JoJo out there against the small defensive back, right? They can attack in a lot of different ways, and you better believe I think Mark Mueller is excited for what this offense can do now.
And when you look at what they did against the Edmonton Elks, they can definitely run the ball too. There's no question after you saw A.J. Ouellette's 100-yard game, and now he's well over 1,000 yards on the season and looking like a career year for A.J. Ouellette running the football. So that's how I think it is. Keane Schaefer-Baker will take that a Joe spot, and everything else is, well, you're going to have to share, guys. That's going to be the message, is they're going to have to learn to share for that Riders receiving core. Okay, question number two. From Zach, how far away is Nelson Lacombo from being back in the lineup? This is going to be interesting because of Kosi Onyeka getting released for code of conduct issues. So now they go to CJ Revis at safety without Tavon Campbell. If Marcus Sales is a go, that means they're not going to play Kerfala Exume there at corner. It's adding some issues. So Nelson Lacombo, though, more specifically, we haven't really seen him do much work, Britton, right? It's
not a lot of work. He is out of the walking boot, so positives there, but he's still very much a spectator along with Jackson Ford.
Yeah, like when we saw Sam Emelis, Thomas Bertrand-Houdon, and Keane Schaefer-Baker before they came back, they were on the sideline working a lot. You know, Dan Farthing, the strength and conditioning coach, and they're running drills and they're doing explosion stuff off to the side. We haven't seen much of that at all for Nelson Lacombo. So I'm guessing at best playoffs for Nelson Lacombo, unless next week he starts to ramp up, Britton.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting if they do get him out there, especially if this works out, right? If CJ Revis really adds something to the safety spot, if Antoine Brooks Jr., who we expect to slide into the Sam linebacker, does he play well? Because once Tavon Campbell's back, your ratio is set. You can handle that. You can deal with it. But we talked already last week, 2 weeks ago, this defensive backfield in the Nationals, they are getting tested, and now they're down another one due to, I think, an off-the-field issue.
Yeah, it was code of conduct is how Corey Mace said it. So we'll also see what Jackson Ford, when he can get back in there, hopefully sooner rather than later, for this Riders secondary, just based on when you look at the ratio and the Canadians, etc. That's about all we can have for you, Zach, on the Lacombo injury as we go to the next question from Chris. Will Jack Cohn be handling short yardage until Tommy returns? Of course, Tommy Stevens listed as out with a knee injury. Do they plan to rest starters when they lock up a home playoff game? Let's start with the first one. We're thinking it's going to be the A.J. Ouellette play they're going to run on short yardage that we saw against the Elks again, which is A.J. just taking the snap, similar to some of the fullbacks we've seen in the CFL, and go that route, because I'm not sure how much Cohn is able to handle short yardage.
Yeah, I think they'll run the A.J. Ouellette package, as you mentioned, unless things go just awful with the snap a few times. Unless it just can't figure that out, then yeah, you make that change, but yeah, Jack Cohn, not really known for his mobility. He has a little bit of a move around, but Tommy Stevens is...
He's a big boy, though.
Yeah, like, he's big. He's not, you can tush-push. But I think they'll do the A.J. Ouellette thing. That's what they've done in the past. They're used to it. But outside of that, this team wants Tommy Stevens back. Like that's the main thing. Is when do we see Tommy Stevens again?
Yeah, he's pretty well automatic from short yardage, and that's a big factor when you think of, you know, extending drives at this time of year for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So hopefully it's not too much of a significant knee injury. He was out, you know, kind of working with scout team and stuff like that. So it's not like it's a knee injury and he's on crutches and, you know, can't move or anything like that. So We'll see what kind of severity that is for Tommy Stevens moving forward. Do they plan to rest starters when they lock up a home playoff game? It sounds like Trevor Harris, that is an absolute yes from Corey Mace, I think, based on what he was saying, right, Britton, that we're going to see him get rested, at least Trevor Harris. But I don't know how much you want to rest guys like Sam Emelis and Kian Schaefer-Baker who have been out of lineup for such a huge chunk of time. I think they still want to get more game reps in until that playoff game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And when they lock up a home playoff game, I think it's first place in the West. That's going to be when they decide to start resting guys. I also agree, wouldn't rest Sam Emelis and Kian Schaefer-Baker. You need those guys kind of ramped up and playing their best football as well and get them back to it. But guys like Trevor Harris, AJ Ouellette has had a big workload this season. Guys on the defense, Jameer Thurman, like there's a lot of starters, especially on defense, that you can definitely rest. I would expect this team to do that because at some point, even the healthiest team, that helps you win a lot of games come playoff time too. And so they'll try to be ready for that. And you know they want that bye week for during the West semifinal and let BC and Calgary beat up on each other a little bit. Or Winnipeg. Winnipeg is also right back in it.
Yeah, well, take care of business this week and next week, Ottawa and Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you hope Calgary drops one of those against, they have the BC Lions this week, which I'm predicting they lose. And then they're in Hamilton. So two tough road games for Calgary. If the Riders win two and Calgary drops one of those, they clinch first in the West. And then you can start looking at, okay, that road game in Winnipeg. I'm not playing Trevor Harris in Winnipeg against the Bombers. No way, no how. In that one. So, and then maybe you roll Trevor Harris out against the BC Lions. I don't know if you want to do back-to-back games without Trevor Harris. That'd be like 3 weeks where he doesn't play. And then you start looking down. I'd do it as a rotation if they take care of business, of course, in the next 2 weeks. And then it's like, okay, let's do Harris and Ouellette and like another guy and then three or four the next week too for the Rough Riders. But I absolutely, it's not lock up a home playoff game. It's locking up that number one seed with the bye week is when I think you see the Riders start to rest their players, especially Trevor Harris because he says he's good. But does he look good? He's looked better this season than he has the last couple of weeks. So thanks for the questions, as always. You can send those at Britton Gray, at Jamie Nye, at Green Zone SK to get a hold of us each and every week ahead of the Blitz podcast as we continue here. Let's get into the kicking story. It was the big story that came down on Wednesday. Brett Lawther out, back injury. So it is, looks like Campbell Fair will handle the kicking duties in Ottawa, a place he's very familiar with. Ottawa GG, second team, OAU All-Star, and OUA, I guess, All-Star, and game-winning field goal, 55-yard field goal at home in Ottawa a couple of years ago. The guy can kick. There's no doubt he's got the leg. Everybody's like, does he have the leg? He's got the leg. He's got leg. There's no doubt about that. He can pound the ball. But this is his first pro game, Britton. What do you think of the move due to injury?
Mm-hmm.
Although there's Darrell Davis was like, is he injured? The timing's fishy. I don't know anything for fact other than an injury report says back injury.
Yeah, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt there. I will say that he is dealing with an injury and that they're not just lying, but hey, never know. Never know. They could, but I'm excited to see what he can do, right? Brett Lawther hasn't been up to standard. He would say that. The team's staying in. He's under 70%. Not up to standard. This at least gives you a chance to see what Campbell Fair has. He's the best option this team had brought in. He's been around a little bit now. He knows the team. He's been learning from Brett. I want to see what he can do. And then maybe he does it'll be an interesting conversation if after the game he's 4 for 4, including a 53-yarder and something like that. That's where it gets really interesting. But let's see what happens. Brett Lawther, as we always say, super nice guy. All the time in the world for Brett Lawther, for everything he's done in the community as a member of the CFLPA and everything, being a great teammate. But ultimately, you have to do your job, and Brett Lawther has not been doing his job well this season.
And I'll say it, Brett knows. Mm-hmm. Like, Brett knows people have respect for him. Brett knows this isn't coming from any area of personal vendetta for anybody who says to change the kicker. Brett is well aware. Every interview he's done, he just says, I've got to do my job. I've got to do my job better. I'm not pulling my weight. I hate that people are talking about the kicker on a 10-2 football team back in the day. Now it's a 10-4 team. So he knows. He knows that nobody is, not personally give a thumbs up to Brett Lawther, the guy. But in professional football, this isn't about having the nicest guys on the team. It's about having the most effective guys on the team. And if Campbell Fair is that, if Campbell Fair kicks a deep field goal and he's perfect on his kicks, I'd roll him out there against Toronto. Don't you have to go with the hot hand? I would think so. But of course, you have to watch him kick first. If he struggles and his accuracy isn't there and he's not looking like much of an improvement, well, Brett Lawther, well, guess what? I'm dancing with the devil I know, and the devil I know is Brett Lawther, who can kick a clutch field goal. We have seen that. Even this season with that end-of-half bomb that he hit earlier this year.
Well, coming into this season, he must have only missed one or two kicks from under 3 minutes to go to tie or take the lead. Brett Lawther has been so clutch for this team for so long. It's been mind-blowing that these are the struggles this team is having. I would not have pegged Brett Lawther as being the issue for this team at the start of the season because of how good he has been, especially in the clutch. And we don't know Campbell Fair. He's done it at the U Sports level. He's made clutch kicks there. Can he do it at the pros?
We'll find out on Friday against the Ottawa Red Blacks. But that wasn't the only thing that ailed the Rough Riders in Edmonton. The secondary, again, a couple of big plays, broken coverages, deep shots downfield in the half, and then deep shots downfield in the fourth quarter where the Riders are trying to get the ball back, which led to extra points, which made it an 8-point difference at the end of the game. And it's just, it's getting frustrating to watch this secondary continue to give up big plays because this was a team that wasn't giving up a lot of big plays, but it seems over the last couple of weeks, they've given up a lot more. And now we'll see what CJ Revis can do at safety. And I'm really interested in what he brings this week with this move.
Yeah, it's an interesting move to make. We can discuss what the ratio is going to be because of the move. But it provides a little bit extra back there at safety. CJ Revis has played safety before. Antoine Brooks Jr., obviously the training camp standout, give a chance at Sam. But I think this team has to get after the quarterback again. They were able to get after the quarterback during that kind of when they were looking really good and the best team in the league. Teams have got a little bit more time. They only got to Cody Fajardo 3-4 times instead of the 8 the first time they played against each other. And so it all leads into, we've seen this team all season. When they put pressure on the quarterbacks, they will commit get turnovers. This team feeds on turnovers. Tavon Campbell, he's been out, but he leads the league still, I think, in interceptions. But when this team doesn't get pressure, when the defensive line isn't getting that push to the quarterback, teams have thrown for a lot of yards on this defense. They absolutely have all season long. So I think I want to see them get back at getting to the quarterback and getting some sacks this weekend.
Yeah, I think getting after it is definitely true. And yeah, Tavon Campbell still leading the way at 6. But Malik Kearney, Micah Johnson, 7 and 6 sacks respectively in the Canadian Football League. So we'll see what they can do against the Ottawa Red Blacks and a defensive line that looks a little different because of the trade deadline, which we'll get to a little bit later on. So when it comes to CJ Revis, we get into the ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it all is on Marcus Sales, right? If Marcus Sales doesn't play, Kerfala Exume will be the corner. That's the way they were practicing this week. It was back-to-back, did not participate for Marcus Sales, but with the knee injuries kind of going on, I think it was more rest-related for Marcus Sales than, but he might be a game-time decision on the depth chart. So that will play in. But if Marcus Sales plays, we think we get to watch the nationalized Canadian or American or whatever the designation is, being the stupidest rule in sports for the what the Riders are going to do with their ratio. I hate this rule. I hate explaining this rule. The fact that it has to take this explanation is a sign that this rule needs to be shot into the sun and just do seven Canadians. That is easy enough. Seven Canadians, period. Or have a nationalized American that can just play the spot and not worry about it. But this rule is ridiculous on 23 snaps and having a CFL employee with a notepad just jotting down how many snaps they play. It's asinine. It's asinine. It's absolutely asinine. This is a rule in a professional league on snap counts for a different passport.
Do you want to explain what they're going to do, or do you need a second to calm down?
No, you do it. Okay. I'm not explaining this. You can do it.
So, based on what I saw at practice, they're not just adding in another Canadian starter unless, as Jamie pointed out, Kerfala Exume does start. Ali Saad was out there with the first team defensive line, and Micah Johnson rotated in. That makes me believe this team, they're going to work the ratio in this rule, is have Ali Saad be the starter and play a good amount of snaps, rotate Micah Johnson in for 23 snaps, as much as he can play, but then also Benoit Marion getting a little bit more along the defensive end spot as well. Maybe switch out him and Baldonado a little bit more than you normally would, so those 23 snaps aren't used up right away. It's weird. It's complicated. But I don't see this team going to a fourth Canadian wide receiver, even though they have the talent to do so. Dante Myers and Keyshawn Johnson are staying out there. I don't think they're making A.J. Ouellette the backup to Thomas Bertrand-Houdon. This is the only move that I can see them making this week.
So, this is where it gets awesome. Because it's going to be listed, we think. It might not, who knows, it might not be this way. Mm-hmm. But Micah Johnson will have the little asterisk. He'll be moved to the backup, Ali Saad in front of him with a symbol. But you'll also see Benoit Marion with a symbol. So the only time Micah Johnson's snaps will count for this stupid rule is if he is on the field with Mike Rose and Malik Kearney without Benoit Marion or Ali Saad. So Micah Johnson can fill in for Caleb Sanders and Mike Rose. He can fill in that rotation. If Ali Saad's on the field, that snap won't count for Micah Johnson. Mm-hmm. That won't be one of his 23. It's only if Benoit Marion is out and Ali Saad's on the sideline. So if you see Baldonado, Micah Johnson, Sanders or Rose, and Kearney, tick. There's one little tick on the one play. So they could have a bunch of different plays on what that looks like. For the Rough Riders. Am I wrong? Like, this is the dumbest rule in professional anything.
When we're talking about rule changes and making the game more accessible to people who don't follow the CFL, this rule is something that needs to get done with.
And I am all for, I have been on this, I am all for rewarding CFL veterans. But I think it should be CFL veterans who have been on a team for longer than 3 years. It should be their fourth season on that team. Once they move teams, I think it should be, because that would help with players and player retention and getting stars that will stay on a team instead of the 1 year contracts, and they move all over the place. And then a guy is on four different teams in four different years, and he gets the nationalized American designation. I don't think that should happen. I think it should be a term on their team that they have been on for the last X amount of years. So that's what I think. Those players should be rewarded a bit and be an exemption of some sort, but not an exemption to the point where you have a CFL employee having to do what I just did, which is Benoit Marion out there? Oh, yeah. Okay. I think that's a play. And we did see this play out with Ottawa earlier in the year with William Standback, their running back, and Adeboye, where Adeboye had to play the rest of the fourth quarter because William Standback ran out of snaps. He couldn't play anymore. So we have seen that where the guy has to walk over to the coach and sheepishly go, he's only got two snaps left. And there you go. There you have it. So that might have to be the way the Riders do things on Friday in Ottawa. I'm so happy about this.
Are you going to be keeping track during the game? Are you going to keep track? Notepad? Provide an update to Jamie and I ratio counter on Twitter?
Not a chance. Nobody got time. I'll be too busy eating Belton's food for this one. Okay. I'm so distracted after this. Keon Schaefer-Baker is back. Let's get some good news going here. Keon Schaefer-Baker is back for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He looked good in practice, man. The one open practice, that diving catch he made, the touchdown catch with his little salsa shuffle dance, Ellie. He coming off the line on the waggle, just his long stride. You can see how quickly he gets downfield. It's another big re-addition with Sam Emelis being the same thing last week.
Yeah, he's a major talent in the CFL. I will say he is the hardest receiver to bring down with the first tackler. I've never seen a guy who breaks the first tackle as much as Keon Schaefer-Baker does. And he's missed a lot of time due to injury, which has been terrible for the young man. But it's good to see him out there, and he brings energy. We talked about this team needing energy, guys, and we said Ajo brought that when he came back from the NFL. Keon Schaefer-Baker absolutely brings that as well. Excited to see him out there for the first time since the first series. He got hurt the first series of the season for this team. But now he's back, and he is providing a big boost for Trevor Harris in this offense that, frankly, needs it right now.
Well, you look at the Canadian receiver depth. They have six guys right now. Like seven with Deshaun Mims, I guess, but you have this three of Emelis, Keon Schaefer-Baker, Tommy Neal, Mitch Picton, Ajo, Del Duncan Busby. Like they could theoretically have four Canadian starting receivers for this ratio, but that means you'd have to knock back Dante Myers and Keyshawn Johnson, and I don't think that's going to happen. They're not eligible for this nationalized American. They haven't been in the league long enough. Next year. Yay.
But, I mean, Keyshawn Johnson's a 1,000-yard receiver. Dante Myers is going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. Those are two of the best receivers in the CFL. This week is so fun because are these the best two receiver rooms in the entire CFL?
Hamilton will have a conversation with you with Keandre Smith, Kenny Lawler, Tim White, Bridges, who hasn't had a great year, but he was the rookie of the year last year. But Braylon Addison, Justin Hardy, Eugene Lewis, Khalil Pimpleton, against KSB, Sam Emelis, Dante Myers, and Keyshawn Johnson. So, where we are with Dante Myers? 102 yards away from a 1,000-yard season for that young man. So maybe he can do it against the Ottawa Redblacks. I'm just looking at the injury report real quick to make sure I didn't forget somebody for the Rough Riders. Yeah, Tavon Campbell is out still. Daniel Johnson, who was the starting left guard, I guess we should mention that, last week. He is out. So it'll be Philippe Gagnon, who is starting, of course, re-added last week as the sixth. He will now. Daniel Johnson was a struggle against the Edmonton Elks at guard. So I think Philippe Gagnon might be an upgrade there with the veteran presence that they brought over from Montreal.
Yeah, I was surprised Daniel Johnson struggled so much because he was really good when he played tackle. I thought he was really taking steps there. Maybe it's just because you have the bigger defensive lineman inside. It just overpowered. But that if there was going to be a ratio move, I would have assumed it would have been Daniel Johnson going to a tackle, but he's hurt. So that's, once again, kind of the team's hands getting forced here in terms of how they can roll out the ratio at this point.
Yeah, they, with Zach Fry, you know, although he might not be back at all, but you could try to go three starting offensive linemen in the interior that are Canadian, but Jacob Brammer's been, Brammer has been so good this season for, at that right guard spot for the Rough Riders. So they're going up against the Ottawa Red Blacks in Ottawa this week. A team, I'm not sure what to expect from Ottawa. They've been in games this year, but 4-10. Britton, what do you think they're up against with the Red Blacks?
This team lost to a quarterback that completed three passes, Jamie. The Ottawa Red Blacks are broken as a team right now. They are done with this season. They're making trades that are building for the future at this point. I don't know how Bob Dice comes back as the head coach of this team after the disaster this has been. Yes, Drew Brown's been hurt for a lengthy stretch of the season. Doesn't matter. You have to find a way to overcome things. They haven't been able to. This should not be close. I say that. I grew up in Saskatchewan. I've watched a lot of Rider games.
Britton. It's going to be close.
I've watched a lot of Rider games, both as a professional and just as a fan. And I know it's going to be closer than it needs to be.
It's going to be close. It's going to be close.
Oh, yeah.
With all the talent they have at receiver, with, you know, Williams stand back in the backfield, I'll be interested with the Lorenzo Mahlden trade, as we should probably go around the CFL a little bit here before we run out of time. But, you know, Lorenzo Mahlden trade deadline, it's the only trade made. He gets traded to the Calgary Stampeders. They're going to lose. Well, they have lost Ormolade for the rest of the season. So they bolster that defensive end spot with the former defensive player of the year in the CFL, Lorenzo Mahlden. So a big upgrade for the banged up Stampeders defensive line. That's not good news for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, but kind of hole there for the Ottawa Red Blacks. Although I still like Bryce Carter as a defensive end for the Ottawa Red Blacks.
But this team lost to a quarterback who completed three passes. That's the team the Riders are going against.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware of that. I know your feelings on the matter. I am also baffled that they lost to Chris Streveler on three completions. But there's still players on this team, man. Like Darius Pickett. Like they got guys.
They were my pick to go to the Grey Cup. I know they have a lot of talent. I thought they were really good coming into the season. And then they lost to a quarterback who only completed three passes.
By the way, that was the first time that ever happened in the CFL in 50 years. 1975 was the last time anybody did that. Ottawa is coming in on a two-game losing streak. They did beat the BC Lions, though. And since that point, the Lions have won three straight games to climb the standing. So, again, who knows what's going to happen in this fantastic league we call the Canadian Football League, because the Riders know anybody can beat anybody on any given Friday night in the Canadian Football League. But when we look at the playoff probability on CFL.ca, Keith Willoughby, Edwards School of Business, University of Saskatchewan, runs the numbers. And after the Bombers beat up on the Tiger Cats 40-3, Britton, your dream might come true. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers back in the Grey Cup after you've been calling for their demise for four straight years.
I thought this was it. I thought we had seen the end. They were about to be put out for the season and ain't going to be able to crawl back into this one. And then the Ottawa Red Blacks lost. And since then, you know, the Winnipeg, you just need a little bit of life. They got Zach Collaros back. They crushed the Hamilton Tiger Cats in a message sent to the rest of the CFL. I don't know. I still don't think they're going to make the Grey Cup. But I've seen this story multiple times where it's felt like they're done. They get thrown a little lifeline, and they've managed to just go on a winning streak.
Well, here's their schedule. Winnipeg, they will beat Edmonton. They'll be at 9 wins. Winnipeg at home to Saskatchewan. If the Riders are resting some guys, they might get to 10 wins. And then they wrap up the season at home against Montreal. I might take them there. So it'll be interesting. BC, they have Edmonton at home. They have a bye week next week. I have them beating Calgary. They could be at 10 wins. Calgary, they have a tough schedule coming up. But at the end, maybe not. Like, I think if the Riders get to 11 wins, they will be in first place. I do believe one more win will get them first place in the West. But it's going to be interesting down the stretch run. I told you about the Bombers. Everybody was saying, they're done. I'm like, they're better than they were last year, record-wise. And here we go again with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the CFL. But we talked about it on the show. Grey Cup pick. Everybody picked on the pet. Like, we had Daryl Davis, Locker, you, Britton, myself. Every single one of us said Saskatchewan and Montreal in the Grey Cup in Winnipeg. So there you have it. That's what we're going with.
It's going to be interesting, especially with Winnipeg. Do they get the West semifinal at home? Maybe the West final. I don't think so. Or are they on the road? They haven't been on the road in a while in playoffs, so maybe that leads to it. But that it's just a team that just has a lot of winning culture over there. And those teams are tough to put away if you continuously allow them to crawl back into it.
Yeah, they're on a bye week. Winnipeg does not play this week. As I mentioned, three teams are off: Edmonton, Montreal, and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But unless I missed anything, do you want to get to our picks, Britton?
Let's get to it.
All righty. We'll finish with the Riders last, as always, but a doubleheader Saturday. The Hamilton Tiger Cats are in Toronto. I have stewed over this game all week. I am picking Hamilton, but my confidence isn't very high after the 40-3 loss. But I do think pride will be on the line here after that loss. Going up against Toronto, yes, the Argos should be desperate, although they're one loss away from being eliminated. So, yeah, I'll stick with Hamilton, but I could very much see Toronto winning this game.
Yeah, flip a coin in this one. I'm also going to go with Hamilton because I think they're going to be ticked off with how last week went. They're professionals. They're first place in the East. And now the realization sets in. You better have the East final in Hamilton, or else Montreal might make things real easy for them on route to the Grey Cup. So I think Hamilton will be a little desperate as well this week, and so that's why I give them the edge.
The final game, because there's only three, the second game on Saturday, BC is at home to the Calgary Stampeders. Stampeders will have revenge on their minds from 2 weeks ago. When they took on the Lions, Calgary actually had a bye week. So they took on the Lions, lost, had a bye week to look over the film, study all the tendencies, and be ready for the BC Lions this week. but Britain. I'm going with the Lions. That defensive line over the last 4 weeks has been dominant. They have been so good getting after the quarterback. Nathan Rourke is most outstanding Canadian potential, so that's where I'm going. I'm going BC.
I'm going to go with Calgary in this one. Having the bye week, Vernon Adams Jr., an extra week. He was dealing with a back injury heading into the last game. I think that played a role. He's going to be a little bit healthier. I think Lorenzo Maldon's what that team needed to kind of get that defensive line back to where they want to be this season. And Dave Dickinson, one of the best coaches in the league, off a bye week, it's really hard to go against him and the game plan he's cooked up against a defense for a second straight week, pretty much, and a BC defense that I still don't think's very good, even though they're getting after the quarterback a little bit more.
We'll disagree on that one. I think we'll both agree that we are both picking the Saskatchewan Roughriders to beat the Ottawa Redblacks in Ottawa. But Britain, how close is this going to be, Mister? It should be a blowout.
31-18. I think the Riders will handle business. They are the better team on paper throughout everything. I think Ottawa is just getting through the season. They're done. Get to next year, and the Riders handle business and bounce back in a big way.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Riders, but I ain't picking a blowout. I'm going to go Riders 24-20 against the Ottawa Redblacks in this one. I think slow start. Are they going to score a touchdown? That's going to be a bold prediction question. How does the first quarter look for the Rough Riders? 5 points scored in the last five games total for the Riders offense in that first quarter. So, but Ottawa is the worst team in scoring in the first quarter. So who knows what this one's going to like at 24-20, low scoring game in Ottawa on the road, back-to-back road games, short week, Ottawa off a bye week. I think that means a lot closer game than it probably should be against the Ottawa Redblacks. So we're both picking the Riders, both picking Hamilton. We disagree on the Calgary BC game, and we'll see how that plays out. But of course, the Green Zone pregame show Friday, 3:30. Note the start time. It's an early start on Friday, 5:30 on the road in the nation's capital of Ottawa. And as always, you can like, you can share, and of course, you can subscribe on the Blitz on YouTube at Green Zone SK there. And tell a friend. Thanks for tuning in again this week. And we'll be back next week when the Riders are back at home for the first time in what feels like forever when they take on the Toronto Argonauts on Friday, October the 10th. Take care. Thanks for tuning in to the Blitz podcast. And we'll see you on the radio.